Welcome to the Arts and Antique Radio Show, where your host, nationally recognized certified appraiser Elizabeth Stewart, Santa Barbara's treasure sleuth, will help you put a value on the treasures in your own home.
Every time it rains, pennies from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven?
So let's find out. How valuable is it?
Hello, 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 Santa Barbara. It's your Chantress of Everything Valuable and Beautiful, Elizabeth Stewart. I have Ralph Clevenger with me today, and we're talking about the show at the Maritime Museum, Santa Barbara Maritime Museum, Ice Bear, Polar Bears. And I want to know how Ralph got those shots. Also to help me with the interview is Greg Gorga, who's the director of the Maritime Museum. And I want to introduce a little bit the protagonist of the show today, the polar bear. What does the polar bear really look like? Well, you have to go to the Maritime Museum to actually see these faces of these bears. The ice bear is the biggest bear species. It's the world's largest land carnivore. Males can weigh up to 800 kilograms, reaching a length of 2.8 meters, and females can weigh up to 400 kilograms. Reaching 2.5 meters. And this bear has a long, narrow head and snout with a black nose. Its body is covered in dense, water-resistant fur that it's yellow or off-white in the summer and white the rest of the year. The fur covers its paw pads, insulating the feet and giving it traction on the snow and ice. And this is a fierce bear. The bear is equipped with strong, sharp-clawed, and slightly webbed paws, uses them for swimming, climbing, and digging through the ice and snow, collapsing seal lairs, and hunting seals. And polar bears are found throughout the Arctic in Alaska, Canada, Greenland, Norway, and Russia. In Canada, they inhabit ice-covered regions from the Yukon and the Beaufort Sea to the west to Newfoundland and Labrador in the east. They range from northern Ellesmere Island south to James Bay. Two-thirds of the global population of bears are found in Canada. The world's southernmost population of bears occurs along the coast of James Bay in Ontario. They occupy the coastal regions of the Arctic Ocean and the channels between its many islands. The habitat changes according to the season. For example, in places where the sea ice melts in mid or late summer, all polar bears move to the shore for 2 to 4 months. During this time, they rely on their fat stores for survival. Once autumn arrives, they go back to the sea ice. Polar bears depend heavily on sea ice, and they use it for hunting, for traveling, and mating. And I have with me photographer Ralph Clevenger, who's captured moments of hunger and hope in this exhibit called Ice Bears at the Santa Barbara Maritime Museum. Polar bears wait for the ice to freeze over that so that they can safely venture back into the ice for the first real meal in months. And he's got 2 dozen photographs hanging that capture the frozen tundra surrounding Churchill in Manitoba, Canada. In early November, the snow is starting to fall across the Hudson Bay, which begins to freeze over as the temperatures drop steadily. And by January, the temperature will average negative 20 Fahrenheit. Too cold for many species to survive, but the right temperature for polar bears to thrive. Once the ice on the bay is solid, the bears can venture out to hunt for seals. What they catch on the ice in spring must sustain them during the summer and fall months when the ice melts and food is scarce. So the lion may be king of the jungle, but the polar bear is the ruler of the Arctic. And Ralph, gosh, how did you get these couple dozen photos?
Well, traveling to Hudson Bay, to Churchill specifically, there's a couple of operators up there who offer trips out to see the polar bears during a very short window, actually. We were there in early November, and one of the companies brings I'm going to call it the Tundra Lodge, which is a bunch of train cars on wheels. They drag it out along the edge of the bay, and you can stay in the lodge. And then you go out in what's called tundra buggies, which are very large vehicles to watch the bears. There's not a whole lot of other wildlife during that period, late October, early November. So it's pretty much just bears that you're going out to watch. And it's not difficult to find them. They all gather near Churchill, not all. Many of the polar bears gather near Churchill, waiting for the bay to freeze over so they can go out and hunt. They're very hungry at that point.
So there you are. Did the tour operators say, okay, this is going to be a good shot here? Did you look for the shots? How close were you? You look like you were pretty close.
The tour operators are they're not dealing with the photography aspect. They're driving up next to bears. Most of the people who go aren't professional photographers, at least. I'm using everything from a wide angle lens to a really long telephoto lens. The bears can come very, very close. They'll stand up and push against the tundra buggy while you watch them from above. Or they might be quite a ways off. So you're spending the day interacting with these bears at some level, either far away or quite close, actually.
And you say they're very hungry, but they wouldn't go after a human, would they?
They might. They're hungry. All bears might, but we're not normal prey for them. But some of those bears haven't eaten. So this is early November. So some of those bears haven't eaten any substantial food since June? That's a long time. And of course, the younger bears are like young dogs. They're quite frisky and curious about things. So we're actually, as customers of the lodge, clients of the lodge, we're actually not allowed to get down on the ground. We stay on the tundra buggy the whole time because it's just too dangerous to keep an eye out on a bunch of tourists running around on the tundra.
So they spend their time on the sea ice, except for when the sea ice melts, and they wait on the ice and they watch those nearby waterholes for seals. And they provide the bears with the diet they usually have. But I read, prepping for this, they actually can occasionally eat fish. They can occasionally even hunt whales if the opportunity arises. And, Ralph, we're talking about, I said at the beginning of the hour, 800 kilograms, but we're talking about 1,600 pounds per bear. That's a big animal. That's a huge animal. They have no natural predators, and they can live to be 30 years old.
Yeah, actually, their lifespan is probably closer to 25. In the zoos, they'll live longer, of course, but anywhere between 20 and 25. And the females are about half the weight of the male bears. They eat almost 80 plus percent of their diet is seals. The rest of that stuff is opportunistic things, like they might find a dead whale or something. But that's not the, if they had to survive on that kind of, scavenging, the polar bear would starve to death. They actually have to eat almost, I think it's 80 seals during, and these are 350, 400 pound seals. They have to eat almost 80 seals over the winter in order to build up enough fat reserves. That's a lot of seals.
That's amazing. And the idea that they live mostly on the ice sheets and they swim in the freezing water, they can survive on land, et cetera, they're just a natural wonder. What made you interested in these, Ralph?
Well, my background is in zoology and professional photography, and the outdoors is the area that my photography business concentrated on. So any wildlife, from the tiniest to the biggest, I'm always interested in, especially when it's a unique animal like the polar bear, who is threatened primarily by climate change, because if there's no ice, there's literally no polar bears.
Right. I wanted to ask about that with the climate change. And I just want to just introduce Greg. Greg is the director of the museum. And Greg, you say the show's been really extremely popular.
Oh, yeah. We had 150 to 200 people here for the opening of the show. People continue to stream in to see it. It's also in our Munger Theater. We feature five short films. I forget where we got those, Ralph, but they show polar bears, and they're really fun to watch. And actually, some of Ralph's photography is also in that Munger Theater. Some polar bears, but some other bears as well. And, you know, the other nice thing that is in conjunction with this exhibit is we go out to the schools and do science nights, and we change up our activity every year so that through sixth grade, those students will have six different activities. And this year we're talking about habitat degradation, habitat loss of habitat. And so we show that, and it's based about the polar bears, but we bring in ice cubes. And during the day, during the science fair, you slowly see that ice melting away, which is what happens to our polar bears. So it's a really nice to tie in the ice bear exhibit of Ralph's beautiful photography with education about habitat and how they affect the life in those habitats.
Oh, well, Richard's giving us the sign we got to go to quick break. I just want to quick shout out that Ralph will be talking about his trip to see the polar bears at the museum on the 18th of April. And he'll be talking about the show. It's a great opportunity to talk with Ralph and get the lowdown on how he shot the show. Here again, he was shooting near Churchill in Manitoba, Canada, the Hudson Bay area, in early November, I think, Ralph, you said, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. What was the temperature like at that point?
Average was 8 degrees without wind chill. And there was wind all the time. So it was definitely below zero with wind chill.
I just find it so fascinating that the bears are swimming in this in the water that is just a degree above 32.
Yeah, degrees? But the water is warmer than the air.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. And I also was reading one other thing I didn't know about polar bears. Their skin is black.
Yes, completely black. And actually their outer, their hair doesn't actually have color on it. The outer guard hairs are hollow tubes that reflect the color of the light hitting it.
Yeah, so they're not white, the hair, it's clear. Right?
How interesting.
Yeah, that's correct.
Let's go to
quick
break.
The black skin.
Yeah, no, I mean, you can see the nose and you can see a little bit the ears, that perhaps it is darker, but yeah, that's just amazing. And it's black because they're capitalizing on the sun's rays.
That's
correct. Yeah. Well, let's go to quick break. The show is called Ice Bear. Photographs by Ralph Clevenger, and this is the show opened February 8th, and it will run till May 31st. And I encourage you to come and speak with Ralph at his talk at the museum on the 18th of April. And we'll talk a little bit more about the polar bears. And I want Greg to talk a little bit about his science adventures where he takes the idea of the bears in the climate change situation we're in and talks to the kids about the climate change. I think that's up close and personal where you've got a real live, cuddly looking, but a ferocious carnivore, apparently, a 1,600 pound bear. It really, really, really hits home. Okay, let's go to quick break. Back in a minute.
Is it only me or do you
get the feeling?
Well, we'll watch the sun going down.
Ralph, I don't understand why you didn't get up there, like part to do a poem, part the polar bears.
Take your right paw out, put your right paw in,
and shake it all about. You know, one of the questions that I had for Ralph was, you know, how people that go on these tours, where they sleep, where they eat. And Ralph was saying that it's the Tundra vehicle, they're vehicles that are on like five feet wheels. And they're right on the snow itself. Explain that, Ralph.
Well, the buggies they're raised up from the ground by those big wheels, obviously to keep the polar bears from accessing the people inside. And they have to have really large wheels because they're driving over frozen tundra. So they, you can sink into that stuff pretty easily. They are driving primarily only on old military roads that were built during World War II. So they're not damaging the tundra itself by staying on those roads. And then there is a company where you can go and you can actually stay out on the tundra. Other companies drive out from Churchill for the day, but you can also stay out on the tundra lot.
And that's what you did?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you go by yourself?
No, I went with my wife. she actually travels with me a lot.
Okay. So then describe your day. And so you're on the, I mean, what I'm trying to get at is what are you witnessing in the bears' activities through the day?
So while the bears are waiting for the bay to freeze, they're not expending much energy. They haven't spent much energy at all over the summer months because there's no food. So they're trying to conserve as much energy as possible. So like dogs, they lay around a lot. And like lions too. I mean, if you've ever watched lions, they don't do much for most of the day. So they're sleeping, rolling. They are starting at this point to spar, to play a lot, push each other around, just getting muscles warmed up, practicing, maybe even a bit of hierarchy stuff, but really not much. The fights look intense, or the sparring looks intense, but it's not. There's no blood or there's no loud noises or anything. So they're just practicing. They get tired so quick because of it's still pretty warm out that they stop every minute or two and lay down and rest and get up and push each other around again. So that's basically what we're seeing. They're not eating.
All right. But when you say it's pretty warm, it's 8 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
it's nothing for the bears. I mean, when they go out on the ice, the temperatures can drop to below minus 50 regularly.
And Ralph, are you seeing them throughout the day? Is there a better part of the day to shoot them, photograph them, I should say?
Yeah. No, that time of year, there's only about 8 hours of daylight. You know, the bears they don't care if it's light or dark or anything. Again, they're not doing a whole lot. So you do get a nice, you know, sunrisey, warm light in the morning and sunset, you know, you get, actually for quite a while because you're so far north. And it can be stormy a lot and snowing and windy and everything. So, so there's not a better time of day or anything. You're out there all 8 hours photographing. You can even photograph from the Tundra Lodge. We have bears wandering around outside the Tundra Lodge.
So you didn't go outside on the snow or in the ice. You stayed in the lodge?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Or on the buggies. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. There's no wandering around.
Right. So the buggies are like little vehicles that you can hop on and explore?
Yeah, they're very big vehicles. They stand, I don't know what, 5, 10, 15. They're 15 feet above the ground where the windows are. So they're quite large. They can hold, 25, 30 people in the buggies. They have a heater. They have a bathroom. They bring lunch out.
And you'll notice, Elizabeth, in the photos that in the exhibit, so the windows come open from the top down. because when those bears are standing next to the buggy, they're right up to the bottom of that window.
But when they're when they're standing, Ralph, how tall are they?
The bears?
Yeah.
Well, the male bear can be 10 feet tall. I mean, that's a big bear. The females can be almost almost 8 feet tall. So yeah, a male bear could reach in a window up there if it opened from the bottom.
Yeah. Okay. So 10 feet tall. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I had no idea of the size. Yeah.
They are gigantic. Yeah. It's also probably a trip not conducive for people who go out sleepwalking at night.
Yeah, right. So yeah, when we get back, I want to just a quick shout out to Ralph's environmental and social photography that he's been doing. If you take a look at his social media, you're going to see, for example, on his website and Instagram, you're going to see the work that he does in support of the environment. I want to talk a little bit about that. For Instagram, where I found him was Ralph Wildshot. And you can actually take a look at his wonderful advocacy for the environment on that Instagram account, Ralph Wildshot. Let's go to quick break. And I want to talk a little bit about how the show came to the Maritime Museum. And I know Ralph has done, we covered Ralph's couple of shows. Now we've covered some underwater photography and we've covered mermaids.
Mermaids and great white sharks.
That's right, great white sharks. We covered that. And I want to know how this came to be, the polar bear exhibit, which is, I think, an amazing thing for Santa Barbara. Here we are in Santa Barbara. And we've got polar bears. Don't turn that down. Back in a minute.
Hi, friends. It's me, Bree. Today, let's sing a story together.
So we're talking this hour about the exhibit of photography at the Santa Barbara Maritime Museum, Ice Bears. This is the polar bear exhibit, and it's in essence traveling because Greg and his staff have been bringing the show to schools to talk a little bit about the reality of climate change. Ralph, I wonder if you could tell us, how has the climate change impacted the ice bear?
Okay, well, the main thing to understand is that the bear feeds almost exclusively on seals. And so the seals live out in the ocean. And when the oceans freeze, the seals still live out there. They're hunting fish and things, but they'll make a hole in the ice, many holes, and they'll come up to breathe in those holes. So even though the ocean is frozen in the Arctic, seals still exist on and under the ocean. So the bears spend all the way from November to April, even in a good year, hunting seals. And they have to eat a lot of seals to store enough fat to survive the summer. So the problem is that if the ice freezes later, or if it melts earlier, which is what it's doing now, then the bears have a reduced time to feed. And an example of the impact of that is a female polar bear in the Hudson Bay population that I visited. She has to reach 500 pounds in order to have the embryo attached. They have a delayed attachment of the embryo after mating, right? So that the female can have cubs. If she doesn't reach 500 pounds, she doesn't have any cubs. She goes back to land, you know, doesn't eat, but she has no cubs. So she has to reach 500 pounds. So the problem is if she doesn't eat enough during the winter, there'll be no cubs. So this is where the extinction of a polar bear population might occur. The adults will all live till 25 years old, but there'll be no cubs. There's, I think, 16 separate populations of polar bears in the Arctic. And the one that I visited is one of the most threatened because it's in the southernmost area that they populate.
And how many bears were in the I guess you wouldn't say pod, but how many bears were in the Churchill Hudson Bay area?
Well, 5 years ago, there were 900 bears there. Today, there's 600 bears.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah, so the population is shrinking in this area. Almost all the polar bear populations are shrinking. I believe there's two or three that are growing, but that can change over time. Some people ask, well, are polar bears going to go extinct? Well, all polar bears, no, they won't go extinct, certainly not in the near future. But some polar bear populations will go extinct because of the sea ice, not forming or lasting long enough for them to hunt.
Are there genetic differences in the various locations? I know they're found in Alaska, Canada, Greenland, Norway, Russia. Are there differences? Are they all the same species? I suppose this exact same species.
They are, as far as I know, they are all the exact same species. I'm not a polar bear expert, but in the research that I've done, the polar bears are all the same. They are very closely related to the grizzly bear, and probably evolved from the grizzly bear, and became polar bears. They can interbreed with grizzly bears. The first case of that was in 2016, but the hybrid isn't very viable. In other words, they're not seeing, babies come from them. They most of the hybrid bears have mated back to polar bears, have mated a polar bear. And so the genetic diversity of the brown bear or grizzly bear and polar bear, goes away pretty quick. It's a polar bear. So, but they can mate and have cubs.
That they can mate, they can have cubs, but do the cubs, can those hybrid cubs, did you say they're not able to reproduce?
Well, I don't think they know, because the first time they saw this happening was in 2016. So I think the female bears generally at 7 or 8 years old, they're able to have cubs. They don't know. They don't know yet. But it's not a solution to them going extinct.
No, I see what you're saying. Yeah. And you're saying that they have, if they have intermingled and interbred, that they're bred, that sort of natural selection takes them back to the polar bear as much as possible. Yeah.
This is what they're thinking, and they're observing this. So that crossbred bear, it seems like they would tend to mate with a polar bear because that's the area that they live in. These brown bears, grizzly bears showing up that far north is, again, part of the climate change. There's not enough food up there for the grizzly bears, that's for sure.
So, and Ralph, correct me if I'm wrong, but the lack of food that, they're feeding, aren't they having issues with them coming into Churchill?
Well, Churchill has existed in its location for hundreds and hundreds of years. It was a way for the fur trade to send furs over to Europe, and all that kind of stuff. And now wheat comes in from central Canada by train. There's no roads to Churchill. Comes in by train and gets put on ships and goes over to Europe and stuff. So polar bears have been in that area along with Churchill for hundreds and hundreds of years, and they get along. There's signs all over towns. There's warning systems. They even have a polar bear jail. So if a polar bear is wandering around town and it's not leaving like it's supposed to, they'll throw it in the jail. Funny story about that. They used to obviously feed them when they got thrown into jail. Well, the polar bears very quickly figured out that if they got caught and thrown into jail, they would get food. So they kept repeating the offense. And they the jail figured it out and quit feeding the polar bears so that they wouldn't come back on their own.
High recidivism right there.
So Ralph, what's Churchill like?
Oh, it's a tiny little town. I mean, it was when I was there, it was winter, so there was snow everywhere. One main road, a lot of cultural, interesting cultural museums and the Native Americans, First Nation people, you know, they live there. There's some tourism. Like I said, in the summer, it's quite busy with grain shipments and shipping going in and out. During the winter, much less so. Tourism is now the biggest employer during the winter. So, but no, it's a small, you know, little, you know, two stop sign town, you know, pretty small.
So when we get back, I want to give a quick shout out to some of the other publications that Ralph has done through his career and a little bit about his career, faculty member at Brooks Institute for 33 years, teaching natural history photography, underwater photography, et cetera. So a member of our community for many years in the arts. So don't turn that down. Back in a minute, we're celebrating the show at the Maritime Museum called Ice Bear, the Polar Bears, photographs by Ralph Clevenger. And put on your calendar the 18th of April, when Ralph would be doing a talk about the bear, the photos and the bears at the museum. Don't turn that down. Back in a sec.
You put your polar bear in, take your polar bear out, put your polar bear in, and shake it all about.
Do the polar bear pokey and you turn yourself around.
That's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about.
Welcome back. During the break, Greg actually mentioned that the Maritime Museum has a show also, photographer Bob Evans, photographing the marine life adjacent to the oil rigs. And that's on at the Santa Barbara Airport right now. And then Ice Bear, photographs by Ralph Clevenger, is open at the museum and it'll be open till May the 31st. On the 18th of April, Ralph is going to talk a little bit about his experience with the bears and the show itself. And Ralph's remarkable, basically. He's been published in many publications: Afar, Audubon, Backpacker, Islands, National Geographic, National Geographic Traveler, Nature's Best, Oceans, Outside, Orion Nature Quarterly, Terre Sauvage, National Geographic Books, Smithsonian Books, Sierra Club Books, and he is the author of the book Photographing Nature, published by New Writers, and he's represented by Tandem Stills in Motion. You can take a look at the website there if you're interested in Ralph's photography. He has been with us here in Santa Barbara for many years, senior faculty member at the Brooks Institute for 33 years, and a marine biologist and a diver, and he amazing, passionate advocate for the environment. And Ralph, we were talking before the break about the fact that there's been a decline in 5 years of almost a third of the population of the bears around Hudson Bay near Churchill. I think you mentioned since 5 years, the population of those bears dropped from 900 to 600. And that's directly resulting from the climate change. And I asked what the town of Churchill was like, just because I wanted to know if maybe the people that have been in Churchill for years and years, if they're noticing a difference.
Oh yeah. Whole of the Arctic area is warming 2 to 3 times faster than the rest of the world. The Antarctic has got the same issues. And you know, we travel to Alaska quite a bit, and I've noticed the amount of road construction in the northern part of Alaska because the permafrost is melting underneath the roads. So the roads are buckling. So there's a lot of consequence to warming temperatures in the Arctic. Obviously, they're going to feel it a lot quicker than areas that are already warm. So, they notice.
I see. How long were you on the trip to shoot the ice bear? How many days were you out there?
That was an 8-day trip.
And would you do it again, do you think?
Well, I'd do it differently. You can also go up there and watch, or hopefully watch, polar bear cubs come out of the den with their mother. And some of the films that are being shown at the museum, they were provided by Polar Bears International, which monitors the health and life and biology of the polar bears throughout Canada mainly, but other areas of the world. They've provided those films. And it's pretty amazing to watch a polar bear mom with a couple of cubs come out. So I think if I did go back up there, I would choose to do that because I haven't seen that. And trips up there are very expensive. The logistics are enormous for taking care, especially at the level of luxury, eco-luxury that we were seeing. So they are expensive. So you'd have to think carefully if budget was a concern.
And then, Greg, how did this come to the museum?
Well, you know, we've worked with Ralph several times. In fact, I think it all goes back to Ralph. I actually got to be on the same trip to go cage diving with great white sharks as Ralph did, 2015. And I know what a wonderful photographer he is. So I asked him if he'd be interested in doing a show of great white sharks. And then, of course, he worked with Emily Falk, our curator and director of exhibits, and she's amazing. And I think she's enjoyed working with Ralph. Then we did the mermaids exhibit. And, you know, I got to say, Ralph's wonderful photography is really throughout the museum. We have his work now as part of our sport fishing interactive exhibit. We had a seal, a beautiful seal photo. It's looking right up at you from the floor that's now covered with a polar bear. But we'll go back to the seal, and I know we have his work somewhere else as well. So Emily always, and as do I, enjoy working with Ralph. He's so much fun to work with, and his photography is just amazing. So that's how that came about. We just know that he's going to do a great show for us.
So Richard's giving us a sign. We have got to go to quick. And I wanted to ask Ralph to think about something in the interim. What's next, Ralph? What are you going to shoot next? What's the next chapter? Let's go to quick break. And when we get back from the break, I want to hear more.
Okay.
I'm a polar bear, and my name is Bjorn, and I've been a polar bear since the day I was born. Welcome to my kingdom and the world that I roam, the circumpolar Arctic, a place that I call home. They call me Nanook, an Ursus Maritimus, 200,000 years of evolution helped design us, with small ears, a thick coat.
Is up at the museum right now. Ice Bear, photographs by Ralph Clevengers at the Santa Barbara Maritime Museum, will be up there till May 31st. 18th of April, Ralph is doing a talk for the museum on Ice Bear. This is the polar bears. Ralph, what's next in your, on your schedule?
My wife and I travel quite a bit. I'm retired, so from both teaching and photography now. So we still travel quite a bit. I just got back from British Columbia, sailing with a group of friends, documenting the herring spawn, which is pretty fascinating. And then we're off to Alaska, to Denali, in late August, early September, doing a photo workshop up there. So after that, we don't have any big plans going. But anyway, we're still traveling.
You were doing a photo shoot for what now? Say again?
Oh, in British Columbia. We were doing a group of friends of mine, we were filming and photographing the herring spawn, which happens each year. And it attracts a lot of sea lions, cellar sea lions, killer whales, a lot of life. So it's a pretty amazing thing to watch and be part of.
Herring, like the fish, herring.
Yeah, like the fish.
Fantastic. A lot of sea life.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So what do you think now, as far as the show, are you happy with how it looks at the museum, Ralph?
Oh, I think the staff at the museum did an amazing job. I've worked with them before, obviously, but this time they sort of suggested a little different printing surface. All of the images are on metal, printed on metal. And I just think they were so perfect with this idea. The images have a lot of depth to them, a lot of life. And then the bigger, there's two really big images. Those are on vinyl.
How interesting that the photos are on metal. Who thought of that, Greg?
Emily Fox, she's worked with so many artists, and in my experience, some artists can be a little difficult to work with, and I have never had anybody complain about Emily. She's been here since 2010. She really revolutionized the museum, changed it entirely, and we didn't really do these art installations before that, and now we have 2 to 3 every year. We got Ralph's work through May. We're working with Ralph Waterhouse and about 7 or 8 other artists to put an exhibit up through the summer. We bring back in the fall Dan Merkel, who we just had his exhibit of lighthouses. It's going to be his photography plus Bill Dewey of California Piers. We are going to bring back Kevin Short after that. And then we're working with Chuck Graham, who is an amazing naturalist out at the islands, does kayak tours. And he will do an exhibit of island foxes with him. And then right now, in addition to Ralph's exhibit in our hallway, for March Women's History Month, we highlight women of the Santa Barbara Harbor. So there's 13 women and their stories and beautiful imagery with that that's on display as well through May up right now.
And again, the women of what now?
It's the women of the Santa Barbara Harbor. So, you know, our history, maritime history, seems to be a little bit male-centric. Julia Williams, famous lighthouse keeper, and a few others. But we wanted to highlight some of the women currently in our harbor. It's a wonderful exhibit and really exciting. We have Hiroko Banco, owner of the Condor Express, Holly Lohuis, who's dove all over the world with Jean-Michel Cousteau and created our maritime and move program, helped us create the Whales Are Superheroes. She was in Hiroko, were co-chairs of the Whale Heritage Area. So now the Santa Barbara Channel is a Whale Heritage Area. Francie Lufkin, first female Commodore. Christine Healy, who's the captain of the Mystic Whaler Tall Ship, which we are bringing back thanks to Roger and Sarah Christman, first week of April to do programming on that. So lots of things happen at the museum. We just had our beautiful lighthouse lens cleaned. So if you've not seen the First Order Fresnel lens, 18 feet tall, we clean all 624 pieces of glass. So it is sparkling. It is, looks better than it's ever looked. And then we just finished up our marine science program where we put 600 plus kids on the local fishing boats where they became hands-on marine scientists. And then, like I said, we're doing that science nights where the kids make little polar bears and we talk about how the habitat is disappearing for them.
Well, thank you both for coming on. And just another shout out, Ice Bear Photographs by Ralph Clevenger is up at the Santa Barbara Maritime Museum. It'll be on show till May 31st and 18th of April. Ralph is going to talk at the museum about the experience of shooting polar bears up in Churchill area in Manitoba, Canada, Hudson Bay. Thank you both for being with me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.